And talk to you this morning a little bit about the power of God's Word. I want you to think about how it's working in your life since you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Whether you want to be a worker for Him, whether you just want to be along for the ride. Sitting there thinking this morning, I had some comments that my daughter got at work from back in 1997. I still have them, and I was going to use them to start with, but needless to say, I left them at home, so maybe next time. But the thing I wanted to think about, and I sat here and thought about, is when we come to church this morning for class, we all participated in the class. We know God wants us to do that. We all sang. We all said amen to the prayer. We do all the things that we need to do here on Sunday morning. And that's great. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to participate in the service to Him. He wants you to have Him in your heart this morning as you assemble here. The thing I think about is the church needs workers behind the scenes. These light bulbs need replaced. The bathrooms need cleaned up. The church needs cleaned up. We need teachers for our classes. We need speakers for the podium. We need scripture readers. A lot of times we fall short. And to me, there's plenty of talent in this congregation. It's been mentioned many times from this podium, the talent that we have in this congregation. We have people that complain because they don't get on the program enough. And then we have those who ask us to leave them off from the program, and sometimes for good reason. But to me, that's what the elders have to help decide, is whether this person needs encouragement. Maybe he's scared to get up here and do things from up front. We need to realize that, and we need to work with that individual. And I think we try to do a good job with that in our young men's development class downstairs. We have some excellent individuals that's working with the young men and trying to bring them to the point where they can participate in the worship service. But I want us to think about the power of God's Word. This is God's Word. This is not my Word. This is God's Word. And there's a lot of meaning in these words. And I'd like to bring that thought forward this morning as I talk about it. And how important it is for us to participate in this worship service. Not to just be here on Sunday morning. We need to be a true Christian when we leave this place and go out into the world. We're an example. I have breakfast with some older individuals a few times in my week off usually. And these individuals look at you and they're just waiting for one little slip. And then it's, oh Bob, you're not going to go to heaven if you think that. They're waiting to help pull us down. And that's what my lesson's about this morning. The power of God's Word in our life. These individuals are usually not what we look at as true Christians. Maybe they don't even go to church, but they know how to tear us down. They know how to bring up points of interest that maybe we shouldn't have relayed to them. I think I've used this subject before when a young man goes in the service. He's given a weapon and he's taught how to use that weapon. And that's kind of the example I'm going to use this morning in the scriptures. God has given us the tools, and He's given us the weapon to use to go out into the world and present that truth and have confidence in ourselves and confidence in God's Word. When I went in the service, they not only taught me how to use a weapon, they taught me what real life was all about. And that being the fact that somebody is always going to be in charge of my life. Somebody's always going to be there telling us what we need to do. And before I went into service, I'd had really very little discipline other than from my dad, and he was usually gone a lot. But the military taught me about discipline. Again, I've mentioned this before, but they said, when I flip this light switch in the morning, I want to hear 70 pair of feet hit this floor all at the same time. I think from that day to this, I've been a light sleeper. Before that, my sisters couldn't get me out of bed. I think Bev would attest to that, that they usually threw the wet wash rag on me or dump water on me or something very drastic. And that did wake me up, but not the way I wanted to woke up. I'd like to start by reading Ephesians 6, and we'll read verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. By the way, I'm using a Bible up here with large print, so I'm trying to get by without my glasses this morning or my readers. I don't use glasses, and it seems to me like readers are very inconvenient. But as we read these scriptures and we examine the various parts of God's armor here, He tells that you and me to see that the only offensive weapon that He gives us is the Word of God. That's all we need, is the Word of God. The Word of God, which is called the Sword of the Spirit. Certainly we need protection that comes to us through salvation and faith, righteousness and truth. But if we're going to overcome the devil, we need to be able to take the offensive to drive him out of our lives. John 10:10 says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think we can all verify that. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan wants to destroy our relationship with God, and he wants to kill our faith and rob our joy and peace. I know that if any of us are like myself, you definitely enjoyed a true peace in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Since then, a lot of other things have probably entered into your life that makes you wonder sometimes. But when you truly accepted Him and first was baptized into Him, there was a peace there beyond explanation. It's something miraculous that God gives you. Satan wants to destroy that relationship with God, and he wants to kill our faith and rob us of that joy and peace. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So as we go through life, we need to stay away from these things that are destructive to our salvation, destructive to our way of living for God. How can we resist the devil? We resist the devil by learning how to correctly handle the weapon which God has made available to us, that being the Word of God. And our purpose then should be to learn how to handle that sword of the Spirit better. We will carefully examine our weapon to learn what it will do for us. In other words, we're going to keep reading this Word of God. to help us in every situation. We're going to know it better. We're going to be able to better use it to explain things to those around us and to help us through those trying times. We will see that God promises that when we use His Word properly, certain results can be expected. We will also discover that God expects us to respond and to use His Word in a certain way. There is nothing that will be more important for us in our Christian lives than learning how to use God's Word. God's Word will draw us closer to Him, and it will help us to overcome Satan's destructive work in our lives. When we read the Bible, it should make us more confident and skilled in using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, and warned him of the corruption that he would experience in the world. He warned him that he would encounter problems, and he would encounter many people that would oppose the truth. Many imposters who would hold the form of religion but deny the power of it. He warned that many would be deceived and that the evil would go from bad to worse, but Paul told Timothy how to overcome these things. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Timothy 3:14 through 17 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works." There are two things here that we learn from these verses. The first thing that we are taught is all scripture is inspired by God. The word inspired could also be translated as God breathed. 2 Peter 2:21 also backs this up. 2 Peter 2:20-21. "For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment deceived unto them." This also bears out the fact that it was the Holy Spirit within these godly men that gave them the true message of God. Again, God is the author of this Bible. This Bible is inspired by God. He gave the men knowledge to put this Bible in writing so that we have the Word of God. He is the source of inspiration, the one who moved men to record what they did. The key thing for us to realize and remember is that the Bible is God's message to us. It was not made up by a bunch of men. It comes from the Almighty God. He has the power to keep what is promised to us through it. the scriptures can be depended upon because they are inspired by God. I think about a true friend I had years ago when I first accepted Christ in my life. And he tried to get me to go to his church, and I was trying to get him to come to this church. And this man believed solely in the Old Testament. And he felt like the Old Testament was truly the Word of God. The New Testament was just made up by a bunch of men. A bunch of men put it in writing, so the New Testament didn't really mean anything. And of course, me being a new believer, there's no way I could explain the difficult situation that I was in. I needed help from the elders, which I tried to get from Carol and Vern and Neil, which they really helped me out a lot. And he would get help from his preacher, which helped him out a lot. So it was kind of a standoff. But to me, we need to realize that these scriptures are inspired. The whole Bible is God's Word. It is the truth. The second important thing that we're assured here in 1 Timothy 3:16, that is all scripture is useful for our instruction. We need to realize that. Paul tells us that it can be used to correct us, to teach us, and to train us. And to me, I think that's what we try our best to use. So many people try to use doctrines of men to take different parts in the church and to organize the church. We try to organize this church solely by the inspired Word of God, the truth God has given us. It can be used for that purpose because God made the Word for that reason. It is a comprehensive guidebook for all those who truly follow God. The main thing, God wants us to know His Word, and His Word meets our need and our instruction in every single circumstance of our life. I think Marge is probably a lot more strong-willed than I am, and I feel like if circumstances got me down, as sometimes we see in the church people, physical health, I think I'd have a hard time staying focused on this Word like I feel like I should, because the other problems would be bothering me. But I try to read the Bible every day, and I try to encourage myself by reading it, and the thing I've learned is not just to read that Bible, but to try to see what that reading that morning is telling me, and how I can use it in my life. When we read the Bible with a receptive heart, we can expect that it will produce faith within us. It's very important when we read the Bible. It's not like other books that we read. And I see so many people read other books that do inspire them. But the thing is, we need to think about that. If we receive the Word of God as the Word of God, it will work in us to produce faith, because faith comes by the Word of God. That's where we get our faith, is from the Bible, from the Word of God. And what Nico read for you this morning, Jesus had many interesting things to say there in that scripture reading. His encounters with the Jews were many. And one of the most interesting times were told here in John 8:31-47. If you remember, of course, if some of you weren't here for class, you missed this, so you need to read it. I don't want to read it because it takes too long. We don't have that much time. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." Verse 31, to be followers of Jesus does not mean that we simply receive God and then forget about Him. And I think that's what a lot of people do. They get weaker and weaker because they don't participate in the Lord's church. They don't take part. They don't continue to read their Bible and they don't continue to do the things God wants them to do that truly inspires us. And to me, you have to continue to do that. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is liberating. Like I said earlier, the truth did set me free from what I thought was not so bad a life to a whole lot better life. I've seen many examples from people and Christians that I were around. And I knew they had something that I wanted, but I didn't realize it was as at peace as I found out when I was baptized and accepted Christ. Jesus had some harsh words here for those who wouldn't receive his word. He said, "You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him." The devil is lying to many, many people today, and they're accepting those lies. They're accepting the fact that they don't have to go to church to be saved. They're accepting the fact that they don't have to read this Bible every day. They just need to be a good person. They just need to do good to those around them. He's telling them many, many lies, and they're believing it. God's word teaches us to live, and that's the way to real peace and joy and contentment. We indicated the way here to overcome Satan, and that's to use the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. This is what Jesus did in his encounter in Matthew 1. 4:1-11. What did he do? What did Jesus do when Satan approached him? Satan approached Jesus with three different temptations. While we could certainly spend much time examining the significance of each temptation, the important thing for us to see from this encounter was the way Jesus resisted Satan. To each thing that Satan offered, Jesus said, "It is written." To each thing Satan said to Jesus, he said, "The way is written." To each thing that Satan offered Jesus, he said this. And that's all we need to say when evil confronts us and temptations. Just think about that. It's written in the Word of God. Jesus overcomes Satan by the written Word. And if Jesus needed to use God's Word to defeat Satan, we surely do also. Satan knows what our weaknesses are. He will use circumstances, thoughts, emotions, anything he can to steer us into temptation and a wide variety of things that will disrupt our life. He will tempt us with everything from cheating on our income tax, neglecting worship, many, many things I could list here, but we think about the things that he tempts us with. God's word is the truth. Satan's temptations may be good on the surface, but they lead us to suffering and to misery and not the peace and contentment God wants us to have. When we receive Jesus' forgiveness, all our sins are washed away. And then the Psalm, as the Psalm says, 51:7, purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does this for each of us. He will do that for anyone who truly accepts Him. The stains of dirt from our sin are washed clean through the forgiveness of God. But there's another cleansing agent here. I'd like to read Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We are made clean by the Word of God. When we have been subjected to assaults and attacks by Satan, the Word of God washes away the residue. We can be defiled on the outside, and we need the cleansing of the Word of God in our lives. And we need this on a day-to-day basis. When we understand God's Word, and how it cleanses us, and how it gives us the opportunity to make ourselves clean again through forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. We need to think about that, because this is what the Bible says about itself. It is the Word. It is the sword of the Spirit. And just as Christ used it and said, it is written. He resisted all of Satan's temptations, and we can also resist it. So the way any person can stay pure is to continue in the Word of God. Let this Word move you. If you're thinking about what you need to do in your life, like I said, before I truly accepted Jesus in my life, I propositioned him to help me through each situation because I knew he could. But I didn't know that you had to be his son or his follower for him to help me. So as soon as I would get through that situation, then I would turn from what I'd promised him I would do. God promises us that if we believe this Bible and if we believe this truth, He will give us an eternal home in heaven with all those of like precious faith, as well as Him and His Son. It has been predicted again that the end is coming on a certain date. The truth says nobody knows that truth. Not even Jesus Christ Himself knows that truth. Only God knows that truth. But if you are thinking about accepting Christ into your life and accepting the truth, it's your opportunity this morning to do that. And believe me, if you do that, there will be joys beyond what you think that that's going to bring you. You'll be happier than you've ever been in your life. You'll accept Jesus Christ into your life. You have that opportunity this morning as we stand and sing the invitation.